Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK,
The Acts of the Apostles, a Bible study with Pastor Arno Bessel.
Hello, and thank you for joining us. You may want to follow the readings in your Bible. If so, please turn to the New Testament book of Acts, chapter 25. The Apostle Paul happened to be under a long and complex trial. We finished our last study saying that he was in Caesarea. There the governor Festus heard Paul. Since the governor could not find any fault in Paul, he asked Paul whether he wanted to be taken to Jerusalem to be heard by the Jewish leaders. We read in Acts chapter 25 verses 13 to 22 the following. Now when some days had passed, Agrippa the king and Bernice arrived at Caesarea and greeted Festus. And as they stayed there many days, Festus laid Paul's case before the king, saying, "There is a man left prisoner by Felix, and when I was at Jerusalem, the chief priest and the elders of the Jews laid out their case against him, asking for a sentence of condemnation against him. I answered them that it was not the custom of the Romans to give up anyone before the accused met the accusers face to face and had opportunity to make his defense concerning the charge laid against him. So when they came together here, I made no delay, but on the next day took my seat on the tribunal and ordered the man to be brought. When the accusers stood up, they brought no charge in his case of such evils as I supposed. Rather, they had certain points of dispute with him about their own religion, and about a certain Jesus, who was dead, but whom Paul asserted to be alive. Being at a loss how to investigate these questions, I asked whether he wanted to go to Jerusalem and be tried there regarding them. But when Paul had appealed to be kept in custody for the decision of the emperor, I ordered him to be held until I could send him to Caesar. Then Agrippa said to Festus, "I would like to hear the man myself." "Tomorrow," said he, "you will hear him." New important characters join the story at this point. King Agrippa and his wife Bernice. This was Herod Agrippa II, son of Herod Agrippa I. He ruled a territory that expanded over the years. He had authority over the temple in Jerusalem. Bernice, the wife of Agrippa, was in fact his sister, which means that the couple was involved in an incestuous relationship. Agrippa and Bernice came to Caesarea to pay their respects to Festus, who recently had taken position as governor in Caesarea. It was customary for rulers to pay a complimentary visit to a new ruler at the time of his assignment. Festus shared with Agrippa one of the difficult tasks he was handling in the hope to get some advice. It was Paul's case. The Jews asked that Paul be condemned. Festus heard the accusers as well as Paul's defense. The accusers, however, did not charge Paul with any of the crimes Festus had expected. According to Festus, the points of discussion had to do with the religion of the Jews and about a certain Jesus who was dead, but whom Paul asserted to be alive. Festus understood the charges against Paul were of a religious nature, nothing that would condemn him before the Roman law. Festus also understood that the controversy revolved around Jesus, specifically whether or not he was alive. Festus confessed that he was at loss how to investigate the matter and did not know what to do with Paul. In the meantime, Paul appealed to Caesar. Having listened to the explanation given by Festus, Agrippa expressed his wish to hear Paul. The hearing was arranged for the next day. Acts chapter 25 verses 23 to 27 report the following. So on the next day Agrippa and Bernice came with great pomp, and they entered the audience hall with the military tribunes and the prominent men of the city. Then, at the command of Festus, Paul was brought in. And Festus said, King Agrippa and all who are present with us, you see this man about whom the whole Jewish people petitioned me, both in Jerusalem and here, shouting that he ought not to live any longer. But I found that he had done nothing deserving death. And, as he himself appealed to the emperor, I decided to go ahead and send him. But I have nothing definite to write to my lord about him. Therefore, I have brought him before you all, and especially before you, King Agrippa, so that, after we have examined him, I may have something to write. For it seems to me unreasonable, in sending a prisoner, not to indicate the charges against him. Royal arrangements have been made for the occasion. Agrippa and Bernice came with great pomp. They were probably dressed in their finest. They entered the audience hall, probably in the palace of Herod, where trials took place. The military tribunes and the prominent men of the city of Caesarea were in attendance. Festus introduced Paul to Agrippa. Festus said that the whole Jewish community asked Paul ought not to live any longer. But Festus admitted that he found Paul had done nothing deserving death. Since Paul appealed to Caesar, Festus needed to write to the emperor about Paul. Festus did not know what to write. I have nothing definite to write, Festus confessed. Festus also admitted that he would have been unreasonable to send on a prisoner without specifying the charges against him. Festus hoped that Agrippa could help him to find out charges against Paul if he heard him. After the governor Festus had spoken, Paul was given the opportunity to make his defense before Agrippa. This is what we are told in Acts chapter 26, verses 1 to 11. So Agrippa said to Paul, "You have permission to speak for yourself." Then Paul stretched out his hand and made his defense. I consider myself fortunate that it is before you, King Agrippa, I am going to make my defense today against all the accusations of the Jews, especially because you are familiar with all the customs and controversies of the Jews. Therefore, I beg you to listen to me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, spent from the beginning among my own nation and in Jerusalem, is known by all the Jews. They have known for a long time, if they are willing to testify, that according to the strictest party of our religion, I have lived as a Pharisee. And now I stand here on trial because of my hope in the promise made by God to our fathers, to which our 12 tribes hope to attain, as they earnestly worship night and day. And for this hope I am accused by Jews, O King. Why is it thought incredible by any of you that God raises the dead? I myself was convinced that I ought to do many things in opposing the name of Jesus of Nazareth, and I did so in Jerusalem. I not only locked up many of the saints in prison after receiving authority from the chief priest, but when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. And I punished them often in all the synagogues and tried to make them blaspheme, and in raging fury against them I persecuted them even to foreign cities. Agrippa granted Paul the opportunity to speak and to make his defense. Paul addressed respectfully Agrippa. He said that Agrippa was familiar with all the customs and controversies of the Jews. Being the king, Agrippa controlled the temple treasury and the investments of the high priest and could appoint the high priest. He was consulted by the Romans on religious matters. This is one of the reasons why Festus wanted Agrippa to assess Paul. As on other occasions, Paul gave a summary of his life. Being a Jew, he was educated and lived as a Pharisee. Paul spelled out the reason why he was on trial. Because of my hope and the promise made by God to our fathers, to which our 12 tribes hope to attain, as they earnestly worship night and day. And for this hope I am accused by Jews, O king. Paul specifically meant God's promise of sending the Messiah and the promise of resurrection of Jesus and the resurrection of the dead. Paul also meant that Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of the hope the Jews held and the ultimate fulfillment of the promises of the Old Testament. At this point, Paul not only addressed Agrippa, but the whole audience, including Festus and the military commanders, who did not believe in the resurrection. Then Paul referred to his past as a cruel persecutor of Christians.
Arno Bessel is pastor of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. St. Peter's offers a friendly atmosphere and newcomers are always welcome.
In the continuation of his defense, Paul spoke of his conversion. We read in Acts chapter 26, verses 12 to 18. In this connection I journeyed to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priest. At midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, that shone around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. And I said, Who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and witness to the things in which you have seen me and to those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles, to whom I am sending you, to open their eyes, so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Paul reported what happened in his life, a turning point caused not by himself, but by a drastic intervention of Jesus, the risen Lord, who appeared to him. Paul added some details to the account of his conversion, which he did not mention previously. Note the following. 1. Everyone with Paul fell on the ground. 2. Jesus spoke in the Hebrew language. 3. Jesus' words, It is hard for you to kick against the goads. A goad was a pointed stick used to guide or drive certain livestock. 4. Jesus' explanation of Paul's mission. Paul was appointed to be a servant and a witness to the things in which he had seen Jesus and in which Jesus appeared to him. Jesus appointed Paul to open the eyes of people so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in Jesus. This is a majestic description of God's love for sinners and His purpose to save them. In the final part of his defense, Paul referred to his work. Acts chapter 26, verses 19 to 23 report the following. Therefore, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus, then in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea, and also to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds in keeping with their repentance. For this reason the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. To this day I have had the help that comes from God, and so I stand here testifying both to small and great, saying nothing but what the prophets and Moses said would come to pass, that the Christ must suffer and that by being the first to rise from the dead, he would proclaim light both to our people and to the Gentiles. Paul mentioned his obedience to Christ's call. He went from place to place to preach to Jews and Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds in keeping with their repentance. This statement summarizes the work produced by God's Word. Repentance, faith, fruits. When people repent of their sins and are brought to faith, their actions demonstrate their new standing before God. According to Paul, the reason why the Jews seized him in the temple and tried to kill him was his preaching of the Word of God, which produces repentance, faith, and good deeds. Paul testified also to the fact that God helped him in his work, and that he said nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that Christ would suffer, and as the first to rise from the dead, would proclaim light to his own people and to the Gentiles. Paul defended himself, saying that he proclaimed nothing new. On the contrary, his message was grounded in the Old Testament, and the Old Testament promises became true. How did Festus, Agrippa, and the rest of the audience react to Paul's defense? The answer is given in Acts chapter 25, verses 24 to 32. And as he was saying these things in his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, you are out of your mind. Your great learning is driving you out of your mind. But Paul said, I'm not out of my mind, most excellent Festus, but I'm speaking true and rational words. For the king knows about these things, and to him I speak boldly. For I am persuaded that none of these things has escaped his notice, for this has not been done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you believe. And Agrippa said to Paul, in a short time would you persuade me to be a Christian? And Paul said, whether short or long, I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me this day might become such as I am, except for these chains. Then the king rose, and the governor and Bernice, and those who were sitting with them. And when they had withdrawn, they said to one another, this man is doing nothing to deserve death or imprisonment. And Agrippa said to Festus, this man could have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar. Festus interrupted Paul's speech and accused him as one out of his mind. The governor felt that Paul's education and reading of the sacred scriptures had led him to an obsession about prophecy and resurrection. Most problematic for Festus would have been the idea of a Savior who died for his people and the concept of resurrection from the dead. The same is true today. The gospel is foolishness to the unbelieving world. Paul replied that he was not insane. The apostle emphasized that Agrippa was familiar with what he was saying. Agrippa had heard about the message preached by Paul because Paul had not proclaimed it in a corner, in secrecy, but openly. The proclamation of Jesus as the Savior was common knowledge. Then Paul asked a staggering question. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you believe. King Agrippa was confronted in public with a dilemma. If he said, yes, I believe the prophets, Paul would have pressed him to recognize the fulfillment of the prophets in Jesus. If Agrippa said, no, I don't believe the prophets, he would have been in trouble with the devout Jews, who accepted the message of the prophets as the true word of God. So Agrippa's reply to Paul's question was, in a short time would you persuade me to be a Christian? Agrippa's response was one of being on the wall. It was an evasion of Paul's question and an answer to what he anticipates Paul's next question would be. Agrippa's point was that he would not be persuaded by such a brief statement. Paul concluded that Agrippa was not yet a believer. Jesus declared, whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. Matthew chapter 12, verse 30. The audition was given an end. Agrippa, Festus, Bernice, and the others left the room. The conclusion they came to concerning Paul was the following. This man is doing nothing to deserve death or imprisonment. Festus and Agrippa agreed that Paul was not guilty of the crimes with which the Jews charged him. Agrippa was of the opinion that Festus should have declared Paul innocent before his appeal to Caesar. Paul, an innocent man on trial. In the early stage of the trial, the authorities lacked boldness to release Paul and let him go. Personal interests and fear of confrontation with the population prevented the authorities to do justice. However, the long and exhausting trial gave the apostle occasion to be the Lord's servant and to bear witness to the essentials of the Christian faith. And these essentials matter to us and to the world today. Paul proclaimed that God can do great works in the lives of people, for he himself had been transformed from an enemy of Christ into a servant of Christ. Paul testified to the fact that through the preaching of the Word of God, repentance, faith, and good works are produced in the lives of people. Paul pointed out that through the gospel, people are rescued from the power of Satan and, by faith in Jesus, receive forgiveness of sins. Above all, Paul emphasized time and again that Jesus Christ rose from the grave. And as the victor over death, sin, and devil, he will raise all the dead on the last day and grant eternal life to all those who believe in him. My prayer is that these essentials of the Christian faith prevail in your heart and give you comfort and strength to face everyday life. In our next study, we shall sail with the Apostle Paul for Italy. Join us again. God bless you.
This study has been prepared and presented by Pastor Arnold Bessel. He serves St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. The congregation at St. Peter's is expecting to meet you and to share the good news of Christ with you. Divine services are held on Sunday at 11 a.m. and Bible studies on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. For more details, visit our website, stpeterslutherans.co.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, St. Peter's Lutheran Church, Plymouth, England. For questions or comments about any issues raised in this program, write an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Check our program online and stay tuned.